Hare Krishna. Today we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Last night we had our Pushyabhishek flower festival. How many of you were here for that? Hare Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur compares the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu to the most soft, fragrant lotus flowers.
Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Ye Chayaya Chakata Chudai Heno Nithai Binebai Radha Krishna Poitenai Drida Khori Daro Nithai Pai.
The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. If the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha Krishna. If one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda.
Se sambandha nahi ja prita janma gelo thar se pasu boro durachar Nithana bolilo mukhe, majilo samsara sukhe, vidya khule ki kori betha.
Anyone who has not established his relationship with Nityananda Prabhu is understood to have spoiled his valuable human birth. Such a human being is actually an uncontrollable animal because he never uttered the holy name of Nityananda. He has become merged in so-called material happiness. What can his useless education and family tradition do to him?
Ahankari mata hoya nitai pada pasariya Asatye re satya kori mani Nithayera karuna habe Braje radha krishna pabe Dharo nithai charana dukani.
Being maddened after false prestige and identification with the body, one is thinking, oh, what is Nityananda? What can he do for me? I don't care. The result is that he is accepting something false to be truth. If you actually want to approach the association of Radha Krishna, you must first achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha Krishna. Therefore, you should firmly grasp the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Nitaye Racharan Satya Tahara Sevaka Nitya Nitai Pada Sada Koro As Narottamo Bodo Dukhi Nitai Mori Koro Sukhi Rako Ranga Charanera Pas. The lotus feet of Nityananda are not illusion. They are a fact. One who engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda is also transcendental. Always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. This Narottam Das is very unhappy. Therefore, I am praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. My dear Lord, please keep me close to your lotus feet. Parama karuna pahudui jana nithai gora chandra saba abathara sara siromani kevala ananda kanda. The two lords, Nitai Gaurachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. Bajo bajo bhai chaitanya nithai sudrida vishvashakori vishaya chatiya sera se majiya muke bolo hari hari. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant, Hare Krishna. Without any motive. Deko ori pae tribhuvani nai e mona doyala data pashupaki jure pasana bitare suni chandra kuna kata. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. Samsare majiya rohili poriya sepadi nahilo as apanakarama punjaye samana kahoye lochandas. But Lochandas regrets that I am entrapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. In these two beautiful prayers by Narottam Das Thakur and Lochandas Thakur, they are giving us a glimpse into the great treasure that has descended into this world in the form of causeless mercy. Causeless means that which is thoroughly undeserved, but comes by the power of the kindness of the Supreme Personality of God. Rupa Goswami, who lived in Vrindavan, worshipped Sri Sri Radha Govinda, and manifested the most loving pastimes of Radha Krishna. When he met Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, he prayed, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godatveshenuma. Krishna's all incarnations are included within Krishna. He is Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swaya. But yet when Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya, he is even more munificent, more merciful than Krishna himself. How is it that Krishna can be more merciful than himself? Can any of you be more merciful than yourself? Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Krishna revealed the intimate pastimes of Vrindavan, the highest and sweetest revelations of love in the spiritual world. As Lord Chaitanya, he came to distribute that love freely within this world. He compared himself to a gardener who had limitless fruits. These were the fruits of prema bhakti, intimate, sweet love of God, according to the residents of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya came to distribute these fruits of love of God to the world. And because in the Kali Yuga, virtually no one can pay the price, he's giving them freely. Just accept it. Just open your heart to accept it through these simple instructions, and I will give. Lord Chaitanya, he requested all of his devotees, please accept this fruit of love for Krishna wholeheartedly. Taste it and be happy forever. And then help me to distribute these fruits to others. Para upakar. In fact, in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he especially requests the people of India to take this very seriously. Because the real wealth of love for Krishna is realized when we share it with others. When Lord Chaitanya was personally present here, he manifested this principle of mercy, compassion, in its utmost realization through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Who is Lord Nityananda? He is the first expansion of Lord Chaitanya. It describes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, according to the Siddhanta of the Puranas, the Vedas, that the one absolute truth has inconceivable potencies, Achintya Shakti. In the spiritual world, beyond material existence, the Paravyoma, where everything is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. This material existence, from the highest planet to the lowest, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokar, are places where ultimately time causes everything to be destroyed. Dukalayam Ashashvatam, where the planets, the mountains, the oceans, everything has a beginning and an end. What to speak of our little bodies? Old age, disease, death are certain. As soon as someone is born, we know for sure that that body is going to die. And whether it's 10 years or 20 years or 100 years is not so much of a difference. Shukadev Goswami tells that the real greatness of life is the quality of our consciousness. Even one moment of full consciousness is infinitely more valuable than a long, long life just wasted over superficialities. So in this spiritual world, beyond material existence is the Brahma Jyoti, the impersonal Brahman, where many jnanis and types of yogis aspire to enter into mukti, or the liberation of the deathless, complete peace of Brahman. But we learn from the Vedas and from the Acharyas, this is a partial realization of the Supreme Truth. Beyond Brahman is Parabrahman, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Rasa Bihari, whose eternal existence is simply for the pastimes of loving and being loved, who is Gopinath, who is forever the Lord and the life of his loving devotees. In that abode of Sri Vaikuntha, where these pastimes are forever taking place, there are various spiritual abodes. And the most inclusive and intimate, our scriptures reveal, is Goloka, where Lakshmi, Sita, in her fullest form, is eternally performing her pastime of Sri Radha with Gopinath. Sri Radha is the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of Krishna. That means all of Krishna's pleasure comes from tasting the love of Radha. And all of Radha's love comes from tasting the sweetness and the happiness of serving Krishna. And the two together, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rashman, are the one absolute truth and the source of everything that exists. All spiritual and material worlds are emanating from that one truth, who are eternally in the pastime of lover and beloved, the Ashray and Vishay Vigrahas. But Krishna, in order to facilitate the highest and sweetest love forever, beyond any of our intellectual imagination, has expanded his entire abode. His first expansion is Balaram. It is Balaram that manifests the spiritual world. It is Balaram that expands as Narayan in Vaikuntha. It is Balaram who, at the time of the creation of material existence, expands as Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, and Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, the Lord who is seated within the heart of every living being. But Balaram is forever in the mood of the servant of Krishna and Radha. He is Krishna, but forever in the mood of a servant. And therefore, Balaram is called the original guru. Because this is the function of a guru. Through example, through teachings, through mercy, to teach the path of service to Krishna. Pleasure to Krishna. Balaram expands himself in every single possible way imaginable to facilitate the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Sri Radha and all of his devotees. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within this world in his most munificent mood of giving love of God freely, Nityananda, or Balaram, appeared as Lord Nityananda, as the original guru, to teach by his example. So when we hear the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, as we are reading today, we understand it in this spirit. He's speaking a very, very deep and wide understanding of who Nityananda Prabhu actually is. Today being his appearance day, I will speak briefly about his appearance. Kaviraj Goswami in the scripture Chaitanya Charitamrita tells that before Lord Chaitanya appeared, before Krishna came in this form, he sent many of his eternal loving associates to prepare the way for him and to share his wonderful mission with him. There's a village in the area of Radhadesh called Ekachakra. And there was a very learned and loving-hearted Brahmin, Hadai Pandit, as well as Padmavati Devi. They were married. They yearned for a child. But for many years, they had no child. It is explained that in that village of Ekachakra, long before generations, there were so many pundits and scholars who were residing there. And they all, from their study of scripture, they proclaimed that someday the supreme, all-merciful personality of Godhead, Balaram, will take birth in Ekachakra. And people were waiting for that time to come. Generations passed. This was the legend that someday Balaram is going to live here. And it was on this day, the 13th day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh, that from the womb of Padmavati, a little child was born. But no one even considered that this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Because Nityananda Prabhu, he wanted to play as a child and have intimate relationships with everyone in the village. He did not want them to see him in his supreme majesty as God. that would have disturbed the free flow of relationship. But when he was born, he had a lovely golden complexion, and his every limb enchanted everyone's hearts. The people of Ekachakra, they just couldn't stop looking at him. They wanted to sing for him. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to hold him. There was one Brahmin, he explains to Janava and the devotees later on, that one day I was in so much anxiety. The material world was beating me down. I was so frustrated. And I went to the house of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, and this little tiny child, Nitai, he crawled up to me and jumped in my lap, and as soon as I touched him, I felt transcendental bliss. All anxieties disappeared instantly. That was his effect on everyone. They named him Nityananda. They called him Nitai, sometimes Nitai Chand, because he was like a moon. The spreading, soothing rays on everyone's hearts. The whole of Ekachakra, everyone of all ages, they simply, their lives revolved around the happiness of Nitai. And Nitai's whole life was just giving happiness to everyone. As he grew a little older, 4 or 5 years old, he would gather all of his friends together to perform dramas. Day and night, they did nothing but have drama festivals. And they never rehearsed. They just did it. And all of their dramas were the pastimes of Krishna in his various incarnations. And Nityananda Prabhu was the producer, the director. He was the script writer, but he didn't write the script. He just taught the script. And he was the leading actor and actress and everything. And everybody around, all the little children, just wanted to make him happy. And he just wanted to make them happy. And everyone just wanted to make them, everyone happy. They didn't have cell phones to disturb the dramas. So it describes by Vrindavan Das Thakur, just some of the dramas. They were endless. One little boy would take the role of Bhumi, Mother Earth. She would appear in the form of a cow and pray to Brahma that there's so much exploitation and so much violence and so much greed and envy and anger in this world. Save me. And then Brahman would bring all the, another little boy would be Brahma, and they'd all go to a little place, a little lake, and they would call that the ocean of milk. They all offered Purushashukta prayers, and then a voice would come from behind a tree of another boy saying, I will appear as Krishna. Then they changed the scene, and they got up like at midnight, and they made a place just like Kamsa's prison house. And a little boy, and it was Devaki and Vasudev, and Krishna appeared. And Vasudev would take Krishna across the river Yamuna and bring him to Gokul. And one little child would play Putana, and another would play little Gopal and liberate Putana. Then there was Shakatashura and Trinavarta. And they really played these games very realistically. Nitai would bring the children into the villagers' houses
to steal their butter. It's quite realistic. And then they'd run away. Little Nitai and his friends, they lifted the Govardhan Hill out of the leaves of trees. They made a replica of Kaliya and were dancing on him in the Nagapatnis. In this way they performed Krishna's beautiful pastimes. They had Ras Lila. And when they played the pastimes, they did it chronologically also. Of Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu played the role of a gopi. And even though it was just children playing these games, kind of like imitating, Nityananda was profusely crying in an inconsolable way. People were struck with wonder. He was so much feeling the pastime. He was actually manifesting these pastimes through his friends. And at the time, they were performing the leelas of Vamanadev and Narasingadev, all the different avatars. When they did Ram Leela, Nityananda told them that I'm going to be Lakshman. And he told one little child, you be Ravana, and you throw a javelin in my chest. And he gave him a lotus flower and said, throw. So the boy was pretending to be Ravana. I am Ravana. I will kill you, Lakshman. He threw a lotus flower. And it hit Nitai in the chest, and he fell unconscious and stopped breathing. His heart stopped beating. And the boys were like really, really in anxiety, and they were trying to bring him to consciousness, and he couldn't come to consciousness. And Hadai Pandit, Padmavati, all the adults, all the parents of the children, they all came running, and they saw Nitai laying there. They were trying to do everything to revive him, but nothing was successful. They were weeping. They were crying. They didn't know what to do. It appeared he was dead. They said, what happened? What happened? And one of the little boys said, I just threw a lotus flower. How could a lotus flower have such an effect? And then one boy said, oh, I remember. Nitai told us after the lotus flower hits him that the boy playing Hanuman should bring the Ganda mud in a mountain with the herb to cure him. So then one boy said, yes, yes, I'm supposed to be Hanuman. And he already had his script that Nitai gave him. He started running, and everybody was watching. Please save Nitai, please save. And this boy, little child running as Hanuman, and he came to a place where there was a lake, and somebody came and said, oh, Hanuman, please eat some nice food. I can see you're hungry. And Hanuman said, I have no time to eat. I must save Lakshman. He's been hit by the javelin as Ravana. He said, no, no, you have some food. Have some food. And he said, take a bath, please. And he insisted, and Hanuman went in the water, and then the boy assumed the form of a crocodile and started fighting with Hanuman. And Hanuman beat up the crocodile. And then other asuras started attacking Hanuman, and Hanuman defeated all of them. And then he picked up, you know, some stones representing Gandhamanda in a mountain, and he came running back, and everybody was really, really, because this was life or death. If Hanuman didn't come, Nitai was dead. And Hanuman came back, and he put some herbs in front of Nitai's nose, and Nitai sat up and smiled. And someone asked, Nitai, you're just a child. How do you know all these pastimes of Krishna and all his incarnations so perfectly? You never heard these before. And Nitai
unassumingly smiled again and said, "These are my pastimes." But nobody understood that he was actually revealing the truth. Because they loved him so much as a little child, they couldn't conceive that he was actually God. In this way, he spent his childhood. And his mother and father, Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, they loved him so dearly. Hadai Pandit couldn't tolerate a moment not seeing Nityananda Prabhu. He would practically bring him everywhere. If he went to do his seva, you know, do some agricultural work in the fields, he would always be looking back at Nitai or bringing him with him. A moment without him was impossible to bear. And in the same way, Padmavati, her life and soul was just to see the beautiful moon-like face of Nitai, to give him happiness. Nityananda Prabhu, when he was about 12 years old, he was sitting under a tree and he roared. It was a supernatural roar. Nobody knew it was him roaring. They just, the world heard this roar. Because that was the moment he knew that Lord Chaitanya had taken birth. And as Lord Balaram, in his heart, he was thinking, how will I ever leave my home to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mission of spreading prema bhakti, love of God, to the world? It's impossible for my mother and father to ever let me go. They're so attached to me. And similarly, all the people of Eka Chakra, they'll never give me permission to go. But I must travel on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he staged a wonderful pastime. By Nityananda Prabhu's own divine grace, a sannyasi came to Eka Chakra. This sannyasi came to the house of Hadai Pandit in Padmavati. He was such a pure-hearted soul. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were pure devotees of the Lord. They were actually none different than Basudeva and Rohini. So they wanted to serve the sadhu. They served him so nicely. They just lived in a simple home, but they offered him everything. And throughout the entire night, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati and this sadhu just discussed Krishna's pastimes in great happiness. And the next morning, Hadai Pandit, being so overwhelmed with gratitude and spiritual joy, he said to the sannyasi, "How could I serve you? I'll do anything for you." The sadhu said, "I am on a pilgrimage. I will go to all the holy places throughout the length and breadth of Bharatvarsha, India. But I'm all alone. I require an assistant. Give me your eldest son, Nitai, to travel. And he'll get to see all the holy places, and I'll take care of him." It was like Indra's thunderbolt striking his soft heart. To give Nitai
He was just a child of about 12. To travel all around to all holy places. In those days, there wasn't planes or cars or buses or trains. It was all walking. And swamis, you know, sadhus, the way they travel and what they eat and all that stuff, most parents would be very, very reluctant. Especially if you have, now those of you who are parents, or those of you who have parents, which I guess is everyone, what is your attachment to your favorite child? Multiply that by about 10 billion, quadrillion, trillion, and that's the love and attachment that Padmavati and Adai Pandit had for Nityananda Prabhu. Because he's Krishna. He's the all-attractive one. He wasn't just attracting their minds. He wasn't just attracting their senses as a mother and father. He was drawing out the most intimate, fullest love from their very souls, their atmas. That was their love for him. But they were considering him to be completely dependent on their motherly and fatherly love. And our Nitai, you know, when parents go away for some time and they leave their parent, their child, they usually call the relatives, you know, how is he or how is she? But when a sadhu takes your little baby, you know, to Badrinath by walking, Kailash, Kanyakumari, into the, and in those days, these places were forests and jungles with wild animals, and there was no internet or phone calls to check to see he's all right. It means he's gone without any communication, perhaps forever. That's what the sadhu was asking Adai Pandit. He was silent. He didn't know what to say. His mind was reeling. I can't give away Nitai. I can't do that. Either for me or for Nitai or for his mother or for all the people of Ekachakra. I can't do it. But in those days, people had honor, especially somebody like Adai Pandit. He was thinking, but I can't not do it. Because I'm trapped. I promised this sadhu that I would serve him according to his will. And now he's given me instruction. It will be the ruination of my life if I don't. So I'm dead if I do and I'm dead if I don't. And then he remembered Maharaj Dasarath. When Vishwamitra Muni came to Ayodhya, he asked for Ram to go to the jungle with him. Adai Pandit understood that Dasarath was feeling the same exact thing that he's feeling now. But Dasarath, even if it meant his death, he had to give Ram to Vishwamitra. Because it is the principle of Dharma to keep your word, especially to a person of God. Adai Pandit went to Padmavati and told her the situation. He's asking for our Nitai. And Padmavati, she was practically internally paralyzed by the thought of losing her child.
And she said, "My dear, whatever you decide is what I want." Adai Pandit Padmavati came before the sadhu and said, you may take our Nitai. And they said, "Nitai, please go travel with the sadhu." And Nitai was completely detached. Sati was thinking, "Oh, why are you sending me away from home and all my friends and all the nice prasad you make me and the nice comfortable house and all your motherly and fatherly love?" Nitai just did his pranams and walked away with the sadhu. Completely detached. His parents were thinking, "Who is it? What is he? He's just walking away." But the sadhu gave because he knew that Padmavati and Hadai Pandit were going to be in deep despair. So he gave them a small deity of Muralidhar, Krishna. And then he left. And Nitai just, without even looking back, just went with him very blissfully. That's when it really hit them. When they walked out the door, they were gone. Adai Pandit collapsed, unconscious. Padmavati collapsed, unconscious. All the people of Ekatrapaka heard about it then. The news spread. They all ran to the house and they saw Adai Pandit Padmavati. Whenever they did come to consciousness, all they could do was cry. And as they cried, they sighed the name Nitai in this virahabhav, the mood of deep love in separation. The people of Ekachakra, they all had, all the adults of all the children, they all loved Nitai even more than they loved their own children. Is that possible? To love somebody else's child more than your own? Because Nitai is the Atma. He's the source of the soul within everyone. So everyone was weeping and crying. And some of the people and the little children, he was their best friend. Their whole lives were only to make him happy. Who were they going to do their dramas with anymore? So the whole town of Ekachakra was just one monsoon of weeping and crying the names of Nitai. And some of the citizens, they decided, "We are going to find that sadhu. Wherever he is, we're going to find him. And we can't do anything to him because he's a sadhu. But we'll give him our children in exchange for Nitai." Said, "Yes, yes, I'll give him my son. I'll give him all my sons. We'll give him all our sons. But just give us Nitai back." That was their resolve. And in all directions they were looking for the sadhu, but he was gone. So they all came back. And in their state, the pundits and the astrologers, they met together. What just happened? And they did all of their calculations and research of the holy scriptures and the planets and everything else. And they came to a firm conclusion that what our forefathers and foremothers had been telling us for so many generations, that Balaram would appear in Ekachakra, he did. He was Nityananda. That was him. That was the Supreme Lord Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna.
the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, and none of us recognized him, and now he's gone.
How they lamented. The people of Ekachakra, they only live now to somehow or other try to pacify Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. For 3 months, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati did not eat any food. They had no appetite. All they did is cry and breathe. And just the remembrance of Nitai in their hearts kept them alive. But something very special happened. They stayed alive for just a few months more. And one of the things that kept them alive is that little deity of Muralidhar that was given by the sadhu. Every time Padmavati looked in the face of Krishna, she saw the face of Nitai. And she understood that my Nitai was Krishna himself, Balaram. And crying out the name Nitai Chand, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati gave up their mortal bodies and returned to the spiritual world, the eternal pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. And after that, all the people of Ekachakra basically just left because they couldn't bear looking at all the... Every place they looked, they saw where Nitai performed his various pastimes. And it was just too much to see them in separation. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu blissfully went on pilgrimage. And it describes all the places that he went. Incredible. Went everywhere. He went to Ayodhya. And in Ayodhya, he was remembering his pastimes as Lakshman, and he was crying in happiness, in his service to Ram. He went to Chitrakoot and saw the place where he made his little hut for Ram to live in. And all the path, he was remembering all those leelas. He went to the forest where Maharaj Guha performed seva to Ram by offering him everything, and he cried in ecstasy and love for his devotee Guha. In Ayodhya, he saw his own birthplace as Lakshman and the birthplace of his beloved Ram and all the places of their pastimes there. He went to Prayag and bathed in the confluence of the Yamuna Ganga Saraswati. He went to Mathura and Vrindavan, where he was totally immersed in the mood of a cowherd boy. And he would play with all the Brijavasi children, enacting the dramas of Krishna's life. Bathing in Yamuna and crying in ecstasy. He went to Hastinapur, where he remembered the pastimes of the Pandavas and the episodes of Mahabharata. He went to Badrikashram, where he was witnessing the pastimes of Nara Narayan Rishi. He went to all the various holy places in the Himalayas, Haridwar. He went to the Gangotri, Yamunotri. He came down all the way to Kanyakumari. He went to the Malaya Hills. When he was in Jagannath Puri, he stayed for some time. And every time he would see Lord Jagannath, he would swoon in ecstasy and loudly chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
He went to Pandharapur, Kolhapur,
Nasik. He came to Mumbai, even though it wasn't called Mumbai in those days. By Payani it was called. He traveled and was always on pilgrimage. And somewhere in the western provinces, perhaps near Udupi, he met with Madhavendra Puri. It describes, I think it was in Pandharapuri, yes, where he met Lakshmipati Tirtha. That's a beautiful story, which is explained in the Bhakti Ratnakar. He was living in the house of a Brahmin. And at that time, Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was a great acharya, sannyasi in the line of Sripad Madhvacharya of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And he was a pure devotee of Balaram. He stayed nearby. And one day, in a dream, Balaram appeared to Lakshmipati Tirtha and told him, tomorrow I am going to come to you in the form of a young Brahmin and you should give me initiation. So that was quite a wonderful dream. So the next day he woke up, and as soon as he woke up, Nityananda appeared and said, please give me initiation. And Lakshmipati Tirtha said, what mantra should I give you? And Nityananda said, give me this mantra. And he gave him, actually Balaram told him the night before, give him this mantra. And so he initiated. And he just fell in love with this Nityananda, but he didn't realize he was actually Balaram himself, his worshipable deity. He just loved him so dearly. And Nityananda served Lakshmipati Tirtha very nicely. And then, in another dream, Nityananda appeared to him and manifested his form of Balaram. Lakshmipati Tirtha understood his worshipable Lord has incarnated on earth and is now my disciple. He was in so much ecstasy after that, he couldn't tell anybody about it. It was too confidential. He practically didn't say anything to anyone anymore. He just left that place, constantly immersed in hearing and chanting and remembering Lord Nityananda Balaram, and soon passed from the world. During his tour, Nityananda Prabhu met with Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was on a pilgrimage with Brahmananda Puri and Ishwara Puri and so many of his disciples. And it's described that Madhavendra Puri was traveling so many places, but there were practically no true lovers of Krishna anywhere. And for him, that was the only real association he was seeking, of someone who loved Krishna like him. And when he came across Nityananda Prabhu, as soon as they saw each other, they saw the ecstasies of love that was the only true purpose of living within this world. They embraced. And the other devotees were struck with wonder. Because as Madhavendra Puri, who was an elderly gentleman, was embracing Nityananda Prabhu, who was quite young still, both of them, tears poured like rivers from their eyes, and they bathed each other. Their hairs were standing erect. Their limbs were trembling. Their voices were so choked up, all they could do was say, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And they both, in each other's embrace, fell to the ground unconscious. And everybody around, seeing the love that these two people had for each other, all the devotees were falling unconscious and crying. And then they saw Nityananda and Madhavendrapuri get up, and all they could do is speak like that. Madhavendrapuri couldn't even speak, actually. Nityananda Prabhu said, I have traveled to all the holy places everywhere, and now I have found the true holy place, the heart of Madhavendrapuri, where love of Krishna is truly dwelling. Krishna is within your heart. You are the source of all holy places.
And after some time, Madhavendrapuri said, whoever sees you, Nityananda, or says your name, Krishna will bless that person with love of Krishna. Of course, we have to say it with faith and devotion. In this way, they spent many days together, and they traveled from place to place. And Nityananda Prabhu accepted Madhavendrapuri as his primary guru or spiritual master. And then somehow or other, because they understood the will of Lord Chaitanya, Madhavendrapuri with his devotees traveled toward the Sarayu River in Ayodhya. And Nityananda Prabhu traveled toward Setubandha, Rameshwaram, in the south. And their separation from each other was so deep and so pure. Nityananda Prabhu went to Dhanushkoti, Rameshwaram. He went to Sri Shaila, and there Parvati and Shiva actually disguised themselves as Brahmins just to cook for Nityananda Prabhu and serve him. In this way, many years passed. Approximately 20 years he was traveling around. And then he came back to Vrindavan. And in a place called Sringarstali, or Nityananda Bhat, he resided, just waiting for his beloved Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to manifest his opulence of the Sankirtan movement. For the years he was traveling, for many of them, Lord Chaitanya was in his role of Nimai Pandit. And then he went to Gaya, where he met Sripad Ishwarapuri. And after taking initiation by Ishwarapuri and receiving his blessings, that is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first truly manifested his Radha Bhav, the ecstasies of his love for as Sri Radha's love for Krishna. And it was there that he became completely manifested in his total attachment for the chanting of the holy name. He returned to Navadvip in such a transformed state, and there he began the Harinam Sankirtan movement with Srivas and Haridas and Advaita and Gadadhar. But Lord Chaitanya was thinking in his heart, where is Nityananda? It will not be to complete until Balaram Nitai comes. And Nitai, he was living in Vrindavan just waiting for Lord Chaitanya to invite him in that way, heart to heart. Nitai was playing with the Brijavasi children just like cowherd boys. They'd splash each other in Yamuna and play so many pastime games. But he was meditating so deeply on when Lord Chaitanya would call him to assist him in spreading the glories of the holy names. And when Lord Chaitanya's will awakened in his heart, Nitai left Vrindavan. And without saying anything to anyone, he was all alone, he arrived in Navadvip and went to the house of Nandan Acharya and told Nandan Acharya, don't tell anyone I'm here. When Nandan Acharya saw Nityananda Prabhu, his love, his devotion, his compassion, Nandan Acharya worshipped him and kept him secretly in his house. Just before he came, Lord Chaitanya sat with his devotees and said, very soon a very great personality will come to Navadvip. And everyone was wondering, who's coming? Then one day, Lord Chaitanya was with all his devotees in the morning. He said, last night I had a dream. In my dream, in front of my house, Sachi Devi's house, there was a chariot. Not an ordinary chariot. It was a chariot that could take a person out from the material world to the spiritual world. And the chariot had a flag with a palm tree. And on the chariot, there was the most beautiful, wonderful personality. He had a golden complexion. His eyes were like lotus flowers, but they appeared to be in an intoxicated state of ecstasy. He held a plow and a club. He was wearing very opulent blue garments and a turban. And in his left ear, he had an earring. He was swaying to and fro, repeating the same sentence. Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? And I came before this personality and I said, who are you? And that person looked at me and said, I am your brother. And soon we will get to know each other. Then Lord Chaitanya went into a complete state of ecstasy. He said, this is Lord Balaram. And then Lord Chaitanya got on Vishnu's throne and cried out to Srivas, bring me Varuna, bring me Varuna. Varuna is a celestial beverage that makes you very ecstatic. So Srivas brought Lord Chaitanya a glass of Ganga water and said, this is Varuni. And Lord Chaitanya drank it and started roaring, and he went into the mood of Balaram. He was so absorbed. Then he told the devotees, Haridas Thakur and Srivas, this personality, this glorious personality has come to Navadvip. Go find him and bring him here. So taking that order as their life and soul, they started traveling around Navadvip everywhere. For 9 hours, they were searching. And Haridas Thakur and Srivas, they are not ordinary people. Narada Muni and Brahma. When they go searching, it's quite thorough. They came back after 9 hours to report to Lord Chaitanya, we went to the house of all the Brahmins, we went to the house of all the Vaishnavas, we went to every other house, we went to the bathing ghats, we went to all of the different shops. We went everywhere in the whole of Navadvip, and we couldn't find this personality. Lord Chaitanya smiled. And he said, he was thinking, Nitai is very secret. He's not easy to find. And then he said to his associates, come with me. And Lord Chaitanya immediately walked right to the house of Nandanacharya. And when Lord Chaitanya and his associates came there, they saw Nityananda Prabhu at the house. And he was sitting in a trance of ecstasy, waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come. And then Lord Nityananda, or first, Lord Chaitanya bowed down to Nityananda along with all of the devotees. And Nitai was in so much transcendental bliss, he just looked at Lord Chaitanya and couldn't move. It was such a state. He was meditating on this moment his whole life of being united with Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now Lord Chaitanya for the first time was standing before him. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Nityananda Prabhu, he was drinking Lord Chaitanya's beauty in through his eyes. He was smelling the fragrance of the body. His tongue felt like it was just wanted to taste Lord Chaitanya's beauty. His ears were, every one of his senses, his mind, were fully immersed in tasting the sweetness of Lord Chaitanya's beauty and mercy. And he became so filled, he fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya, he told Srivas to chant a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna when he's just going out into the pastures to herd the cows with the gopas, the beauty of his complexion and his lotus-like eyes and how he had beautiful flowers in his ears and peacock feather on his head and how the dust of the cows were decorating he and his friends. And the beauty of his garlands and the jewels that Yashoda would put upon him. Upon hearing this beautiful verse that Srivas chanted over and over again, Nityananda Prabhu roared. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda embraced. And Lord Nityananda again fell unconscious, and his head was on Lord Chaitanya's lap. And Gadadhar Pandit said, just see how now Ananta Shesha is laying on Lord Vishnu. By this love, Ananta Shesha has been humbled. This was the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They bathed each other with the tears of their affection. And Nityananda Prabhu was asked by Lord Chaitanya, where are you coming from? And he said, for so many years I went to all the holy places, and wherever I went, I was looking for Krishna, but Krishna wasn't there. Krishna wasn't in any of the temples. I was searching and searching and searching here and there and everywhere in all of these most holy places, but I couldn't find Krishna. And then someone told me that Krishna's living in Navadvip. You should go to Navadvip. There the pastimes of Vrindavan are taking place in the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So I came here, and now I have found you. The very fruit and purpose of all of my years of pilgrimage has finally come to be in seeing you. And Lord Chaitanya said, anyone
Every one of your ornaments is the ecstasy of pure love for Krishna. And whoever you give your mercy to will become Krishna's dearest devotee.
Then Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda Prabhu, tomorrow is Guru Purnima, the day when we worship Vyas. Where would you like to have this ceremony? And Nityananda Prabhu took the hand of Srivas and said, let us do it at this Brahmin's house. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, this is a big responsibility for you. And Srivas said, I already have all the ingredients. I just have to get the book with the rituals. So they went to Srivas's house. And there in Srivas Angam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired the devotees to begin Sankirtan. For the first time in this manifested Leela, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda danced together. It was almost like the whole earth was shaking as their beautiful lotus feet were touching the ground. And how they danced. They were in so much ecstasy chanting the holy names and dancing that their bodies were having such transformations and such manifestations of love. The devotees danced together with them and simply relished from the core of their very souls the sight of Krishna Balaram as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda performing their leelas of Sankirtan together. And for Lord Chaitanya, now everything was complete for the Sankirtan movement to spread. Nityananda has come. The next day, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivas in the morning. The way he came is Nityananda Prabhu was so much happy to have met Lord Chaitanya. He was roaring all night long. And he was an avadut. He had a danda and a kamandalu. Those were his only possessions. And they all were broken to pieces by Nityananda because he was in so much happiness. So Srivas, whose house he was at, he said to Ramai Pandit, his brothers, you better get Lord Chaitanya. And they told Lord Chaitanya about this, and he smiled. And he went to Nityananda's room, and he said, let us go to the Ganga. Now, Guru Purnima time is monsoons. And in those days, during monsoons, the Ganga would be filled with crocodiles. And crocodiles are usually really hungry. And for crocodiles, the way humans like gulab jamuns, they like to eat nice, juicy humans. So people would not go in the Ganga when the crocodiles were swimming around. But when they got there, crocodiles were all over the place, swarming all over each other, looking for food. And Nityananda saw the crocodiles and jumped right in and started playing with them. And the crocodiles didn't know what to do. And Nityananda was swimming after them and grabbing their tails and just jumped. And all the devotees were, Nitai, Nitai, come. And they didn't know what to do. They couldn't get them to come back. He was just so absorbed in playing with crocodiles. And the devotee said to Lord Chaitanya, please do something. And Lord Chaitanya said, Nitai, come. And immediately Nitai came. Because Nityananda Prabhu was always totally obedient to the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. They went to perform the Vyas Puja. And at a certain time, because Nityananda Prabhu was like the guru for all of them, he was the senior most, it was time for him to offer the garland to Veda Vyas, which is like the culmination of all the rituals and all the mantras and all the tantras and yantras and everything else. And Srivas said, give the garland to Vyas Dev. And Nityananda stood there with the garland in his hand. Srivas said, give the garland to Vyasa. Lord Nityananda was holding the garland. Srivas said, give the garland to Vyasa. Finally, Srivas went to Lord Chaitanya. He said, he's not giving the garland to Vyasa. So Lord Chaitanya said, give the garland to Vyasadeva. And Nityananda turned and put the garland on Lord Chaitanya. And at that point, Lord Chaitanya revealed his six-arm form, the Sadbhuja, to Nityananda Prabhu. And upon seeing that, Nityananda Prabhu fainted. And then he came to consciousness, and the two brothers danced and invoked everyone to dance and chant with Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
One day Lord Chaitanya brought Nityananda Prabhu to Sachi Devi's house, his house. And he said to Sachi Devi that Nityananda Prabhu is your son. He is my brother. And from that moment, Sachi Devi totally from the core of her heart accepted Nityananda Prabhu as her own son. She loved both of them practically equally, Gornitai. But one morning, Sachi told Gauranga about a dream she had. She said, it's really a mystically strange dream. Sri Gauranga said, please tell me. She said, I saw you and Nityananda Prabhu. And you were both in the form of five-year-old children. And you went on my altar where the deities of Krishna Balaram are. And you took the deity of Balaram and Nityananda took the deity of Krishna. And you both took Krishna Balaram off the altar. And Krishna and Balaram were very angry because you were taking him off the altar. And Krishna said, who are you? This is my house. This is my altar. This is my sandesh. All the wonderful food that Sachi Devi's cooking is for us. Who are you to be trying to eat them? Krishna said. And then Nitai, he said, no, your day is as cowherd boys going around to houses and stealing are gone. Now the time has come where we have come to prevail as Brahmins. And then Balaram, deity, and Nitai got in a big argument. Balaram said, my lord is Krishna. He is the controller of everything that exists. He's the proprietor of everything. If you don't give back what Krishna, what is meant for Krishna's satisfaction, then I'm going to tie you up and punish you. And Nityananda said to Balaram, I am not afraid of you. Lord Vishwambar is my lord. And Sachi Devi said, with these kind of arguments, both Krishna and Balaram and Gornita and you and Nitai, you were snatching food, sandesh, and other types of milk sweets from each other's hands and putting in your mouth, and you were taking the food out of each other's mouth and putting in your own mouth, and you were fighting, and finally Nitai just cried out, Sachi, Sachi, give me rice. And the dream ended.
She said, what does this mean?
And Lord Chaitanya said, this is a very auspicious dream. Please do not tell anyone about this dream. But I think we should invite Nityananda over for prasad today. Should I continue? Thank you. So Lord Chaitanya went to Srivas Thakur's house where Nityananda Prabhu was residing, and he said, Sachi Devi's calling you for lunch today. And Nitai was very happy. And Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda, but if you're coming to my mother's house, please behave yourself properly. Don't do any of your mischief. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I never do mischief. I always behave. But because you're so mischievous, you're seeing mischief on me. And they both left. And they came to Sachi's house. And Sachi was so happy, she sat them down for prasad, along with Gadadhar and some other devotees. And they both sat, and Sachi Devi came from the place where she cooked with plates, and she gave one to Nityananda Prabhu and one to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were eating very happily. And she went into the kitchen to get more. And when she came out, she went to serve them. And she saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They were not there. It didn't seem like. Instead, there were two little five-year-old children. One had a white complexion, one has a blue complexion. And they both had four arms holding the symbols of Vishnu and Balaram. And when she saw this, she was struck with wonder. Then she looked on this one little blue-colored boy who was just 5 years old, smiling, and she saw on his chest was Vishnu Priya. On his chest. When she saw this, she was in such an ecstasy of motherly love, she fell unconscious. But she was holding all these preparations. So all the preparations fell on the ground and made a crash, and they spilled on the floor. And Sachi Devi was laying there. And immediately Lord Chaitanya got up and washed his hands and picked up Sachi and said, what happened? Because now he was in his regular form. So what happened, mother? Why did you fall down like that? She couldn't say a word. She just went into her private room, and in motherly ecstasy, she cried and cried and cried. And meanwhile, Ishan was her assistant. He came and he cleaned up everything very nicely and put it back. And Mother Sachi, after some time, came out and served them prasad. In this way, they lived together in the association of devotees. And they were having these wonderful kirtans in the house of Srivas. But one day, and I'm going to end with this story, but it's a long story. Because we're actually out of time, so I'll make it short. I'll try. Lord Chaitanya called for Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and told them, listen, listen, Haridas Nitai, this is my order to you. Go everywhere, to everyone. Don't consider who is fit or unfit, and give them this one instruction. Chant the names of Krishna. Remember Krishna. Serve Krishna and share Krishna with others. Krishna is your mother.
Krishna is your father. Krishna is your true wealth. Krishna is your very life and soul. Take the name of Krishna. Go out and spread this message to everyone. And then come back and give me report. Lord Nityananda, he saw Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So he was telling everyone exactly the instruction that he was given, but he was also sharing Bhaja Gaurango Kaho Gaurango Laho Gaurango Namre, that chant the name of Gauranga, worship Gauranga, and if you do so, you will become my life and soul. So here is Nityananda Balaram and Brahma Haridas. And they're going house to house, store to store, marketplace to marketplace, bathing ghat to bathing ghat, field to field, everywhere. Where anybody they met, they would share this message. Like beggars, we beg from you, just take Krishna's names. Worship Krishna. And share Krishna with others. That's all we ask. And many of the pious people, their lives were transformed. And that's all they could do. Is yes, yes, just to please Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu, they would start to chant. And anyone... I'm not going to tell you what this says. Anyone who would chant, Nityananda Prabhu would become so indebted to that person. Even if they were really, really sinful, atheistic people, if they chanted the name of Krishna, Nityananda would embrace them and cry. And say, you are my life and soul because you have taken the name of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. But many people were not like that. Many people had very hard hearts. And they were starting to spread nasty rumors about Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu. They don't let that person near you. Those people, they're thieves, they're criminals. They come to your house with this crazy message, but actually, they're looking in your house to see what you have to steal. And they're robbers and thieves. They'll come back and they'll steal from you. So don't even open your door for them. And other people, when Nityananda and Haridas would come to them, they would see you beggars, you wretched people, out from here, out from here. People were quite violent and angry toward them. And Nityananda Prabhu, Lochandas wrote that beautiful song, Akrodha, Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Ram. Nityananda never got angry. He tolerated all this abuse and criticism and blasphemy. And with folded hands and tears of compassion, he would bow down to these people. Say, I don't mind what you said. Just take the name of Krishna and be happy. Sometimes, like a golden mountain, he would roll in the dust of the feet of these angry, sinful people, just begging them to take the name of Krishna and be happy. That was Nityananda's Leela. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam that same Nityananda is Balaram. When he went to Hastinapur with a message from Ugrasena and Krishna,
he was insulted by the Kurus. And in those days, the Pandavas and the Kurus, they were all together. There was Bhishma and Karna and Drona and Bhima. They didn't pay proper respect to Krishna and Balaram. So Balaramji, with his plow, he hit the ground and separated the entire Hastinapur from the earth. And then with eyes that were glowing with red anger, he said, "How dare you disregard Krishna? Today I will take the entire kingdom of Hastinapur and plunge it at the bottom of the Ganges." And then he started pulling the entire kingdom. And all the people of Hastinapur, all the greatest, most powerful warriors on the planet, they all came forward to surrender to Balaram. And he said, "Actually, we didn't mean to offend you. We just said these things because we wanted to see you demonstrate your great powers." And Roma Harshan Sutta, he was the direct disciple of Vyasadeva, but he was proud. He had arrogance. Instead of being humble, he was arrogant. And when all the sages of Naimasharanya stood up to greet Balaram, Roma Harshan Sutta just sat on the Vyasasana and didn't get up. Balaram understood his heart that he's arrogant. Therefore, he has no qualification. And he spoke very angry. He said, "Although you are directly a favorite student and disciple of the great Saint Vyasadeva, the compiler of all Vedas, and although you have thoroughly studied the Puranas, the Itihastas, the Sutras, the Samhitas, because you do not have good character, because you are arrogant, all of your studying of the scriptures under these great saints is like a theatrical actor memorizing the lines of a drama. Because you have not learned how to respect others with character. I have descended to free the world of hypocritical leaders like you." And then Balaram took a blade of kusha grass and touched Roma Harshan. Roma Harshan fell dead. The sages were very disturbed. They said, "Balaram, we know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know you're the brother of Krishna and you're on pilgrimage, and we know your power and greatness, but you know, we're all sages and rishis, and we just gave a blessing to him before he began his speech, his pravachan, that he would live a long life." And Balaram said, "Then I will bring him back to life." He said, No, don't do that. just go on pilgrimage." And Balvala. So this is Nityananda Prabhu Balaram. He's Ananta Shesha. All the universe are being balanced on his hoods. He's the source of Mahavishnu, who simply with one inhalation destroys the whole cosmic manifestation. And that same Balaram, even when he's being abused and insulted, and people throwing things at him, with folded palms and tears of compassion, he's falling and bowing down and rolling in the dust of the feet of those people, begging them, "Please chant the names of Krishna and be happy." And they would come back every night and tell all their stories to Lord Chaitanya and the devotees who listened with great wonder. One day, they came upon a scene where there was a crowd of people who were astonished and full of fear. And there was all kinds of noise. So Haridas Nityananda said, "What is this? Let us go and see." And there they saw two ferocious, gigantic personalities who were totally intoxicated. They were abusing each other. They were abusing everyone around. Every word out of their mouth was filthy and nasty. And the people from a distance were just looking in fear. Nityananda asked one of the onlookers, "Who is this?" They said, "These people, they're actually Brahmins from Navadvip. But they, due to bad association with all their Brahminical powers, they have become demoniac. Their names are Jagai and Madhai. Every day, they rape women, they murder people, any kind of person, whoever gets in the way, whether they especially like to murder Brahmins. They're constantly drinking the worst type of intoxicating liquor. They kill cows with their own hands, drink their blood, cook their meat and eat it. There's not a sin they don't commit." Their names are Jagai and Madhai. Nityananda Prabhu was feeling very sad for them and for all the people that they caused suffering to. But he said to Haridas that we are going everywhere on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, who is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. But most people don't take us serious. They make fun of us. They ridicule us. And most people don't even take Lord Chaitanya serious with all the mercy that he's giving. But if we can get this Jagai and Madhai to become pure devotees, compassionate lovers of God, intoxicated with the name of Krishna, then everyone will understand the glories of our Lord Gauranga. And Haridas smiled. And he said to Nityananda, "Just because you have decided to give mercy to them, they are already delivered." And then they came from the crowd and walked toward Jagai and Madhai. The people of the crowd were shocked. They were screaming out, "No, no, what are you doing? You don't go up to these, you don't approach these people. They will kill you. They will torture you. Get back here. But you people are fools." And Nityananda and Haridas just smiled and walked. Nitai gave the message to Jagai and Madhai. "My dear brothers, chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, serve Krishna, and share the message of Krishna. Krishna is your mother, your father. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the holy names." For someone to say this to Jagai and Madhai was the ultimate insult. Jagai and Madhai were furious. They looked with such wrath upon Nitai and Haridas and said, "Kill them!" And they charged to murder Lord Nityananda and Haridas. And Haridas, playing the role of common people, ran away. Jagai Madhai ran after them. And the people who were standing around were terrified by this.
The envious people were saying they deserve to die. We told them not to do it, and they did it anyway. Who got crazy people telling Jagai and Madai to chant Krishna's names? It's suicide. Now they will die. And the pious people were just praying to Krishna from the core of their hearts, please save Nityananda and please save Haridas. And meanwhile, Haridas and Nityananda were running. They were really fast runners. And Jagai and Madai was running with all of their strength to catch him and kill him. And they were crying out, catch them, catch them. And Jagai and Madai would say, come back here. Come back here. Jagai and Madai are demanding you to come. We want to speak to you. And Haridas, Nitai running. And Nityananda Prabhu said to Haridas as they're running, he said, you were beaten in 22 marketplaces by those executioners, and you prayed to Krishna, and he saved you. So please pray to Krishna now. This Jagai and Madai want to kill us. And Haridas said, why did you do that? Why did you go up to them and start preaching to them about chanting Hare Krishna? He said, I was saved by Krishna, in those 22 marketplaces, but now because you're so wild and you're so uncontrolled, you tried to preach to them, I think today we're going to die. And Lord Nityananda said, don't call me wild and uncontrolled. It is not me. It is the master who gave us the order. He said, you're Lord Gauranga. Who is he? Never has the world seen anybody like this. He's a Brahmin, but he's taking the role of a great king, giving ultimate orders. And no king has ever given such an order like this. Go to everyone, the most qualified or least qualified, no discrimination, and tell them to chant the holy names. It is your Lord who is responsible. It is he that is very restless. And Haridas Thakur laughed, and Nityananda Prabhu laughed. They were just joking as they were running. And Jagai and Madai, because of the stuff they were eating and drinking, even though they were extremely strong, they were powerful. They couldn't catch up. And ultimately, they had to beat somebody. So when they couldn't catch Lord Nityananda and Lord and Haridas, they started punching each other and scratching each other and kicking each other and pulling each other's hair and cursing each other just to get their anger out. Now please understand, Jagai and Madai, it's not like in the dramas we put in our Hare Krishna temples where everyone laughs at them when they come out. They were really scary people. Jagai and Madai had all the power and evil anger as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna. Would you laugh at him if he came on stage? Shishupal Dantavakra. Those two brothers came again as Jagai and Madai with all their powers and their wrath and their envy and more. Haridas, Nitai went to the house of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is sitting with Advaita and Gadadhar and all the devotees, Srivas, and they gave their report. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this Jagai and Madai, they wanted to kill Nityananda and Haridas. He asked Srivas and Gangadas Pandit, who are they? Said, these people are they're the terrorists that are causing such fear in everyone in Navadweep. Their favorite pastime is to
burn people's houses down and just destroy them.
His Holiness Jaipatak Maharaj writes in one of his books, we heard it the other day in class, that Jagai and Madhai were Brahmins, so they knew how to study scripture. But you know how they studied scripture? They would read about all, like the fifth canto of the hellish planets, and what kind of hellish sufferings await for people who do terrible sins. They would study Manu Samhita, they would study Srimad Bhagavatam, they would study all these scriptures, whatever, and find out what sins were punishable. And it was like a checklist. Every day they wanted to commit every possible sin there was, just to defy the scriptures and defy God. Hare Krishna. They committed every possible offense except one. No devotees ever went near them. And they were so busy with so many crazy things, they never associated with Vaishnavas. So the only offense they never committed was Vaishnava aparad, up until they met Haridas and Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya, when he heard they went to kill him, his devotees, he was astounded. And then Haridas Thakur said to Adwaita Prabhu, do you know what it's like traveling with Nityananda Prabhu? Very difficult. He's always getting me in trouble. Sometimes in the middle of the monsoons where there's so many of these man-eating crocodiles swarming in this Ganga, Nityananda just jumps in and chases after them and pulls their tails and rides on them and just laughing and chanting, and I have to somehow or other try to save him. And other times he goes into people's houses like a little cowherd boy and steals their butter and their milk. And then the people get angry and they come chasing, and he hides and they come to beat me. Other times he goes to somebody's cow and milks them and drinks the milk, and then they come chasing the farmers and go, the cowherd men come out to, and I'm there. And he's gone, and they come to beat me and punish me. And sometimes he just goes up to a young girl and says, will you marry me? And she runs home and tells her parents, and the parents come charging out, and Nityananda's gone, and they come to beat me. This is what it's like every day. And today, he went and started preaching to Jagai and Madhai. And we had to run away. We were this far from being killed. They were so intoxicated with envy and greed, anger, and hate. And Advaitacharya started to laugh. He roared. He said, Haridas, this is not uncommon or surprising, because drunken people like to be with other drunken people. Nityananda Prabhu is drunk with ecstatic love for Krishna, so naturally he wants to be with other drunken people like Jagai and Madhai. But because he has chosen to give his mercy, he said, you will see. Within a few days, Jagai and Madhai will be in our kirtan together, chanting the holy. One day, Jagai and Madhai, because they used to roam around Navadweep, and people would always be running away from them. And everyone was always afraid they were going to break in their house, they were going to rob them, they were going to kill them, or they were going to burn their house down. And you see, the police couldn't stop them, because they had more power than the police. They kind of controlled the law enforcement. one night, they were camping not far from Srivatsangam. And they heard the kirtan. And the mridangas and karatals and the cheap devotees were chanting. And Jagai and Madhai, in their drunken state, they were dancing with the kirtan. So some benefit they got. And one day they saw Nimai going to the Ganga. And they said, "Oh, Nimai, we heard your kirtan. You are worshipping Goddess Durga very nicely." And Nimai wouldn't associate with them. Lord Chaitanya left the most fallen people for Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya just walked away. And one evening, Nityananda Prabhu was especially searching everywhere for Jagai and Madhai to give them another chance. Now, after the last episode where they ran to kill them and they ran away, who's going to go up again? Nitai. They were standing together in their very abusive, violent way, and Nityananda Prabhu walked right on up to them and said, "My dear brothers, chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna." Jagai and Madhai said, they looked at him with such scorn and said, "Who are you?" And Nityananda smiled and said, "My name is Avadhut." That's not what you want to tell them. An avadhut is a person who's completely renounced material life for spiritual purpose. And these people were the totally most engrossed materialists possible. So they were insulted by that. Madhai picked up a pot and with all of his force, he smashed Nityananda Prabhu in the head. Blood poured from Nityananda's head down his face onto his clothes. It was horrifying. The people who saw that ran to the place of Lord Chaitanya to tell him what was happening. Nityananda Prabhu, in that state, with tears of compassion in his eyes, he again requested Jagai and Madhai to be forgiven of all their sins and just chant the names of Krishna. Madhai was so further insulted, he picked up another pot and went to smash that on Nityananda's head. Jagai saw Nityananda's compassion and he stopped his brother. He said, "Don't you see this person loves us? He's truly a saint. Don't hurt him. What can he has nothing. What has he done to you?" At that moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, surrounded by his devotees, appeared. Srila Prabhupada explains his eyes were like red coals. They were so upset. And when he saw Nityananda's face covered with blood, and he saw Madhai with the pot in his hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried out, "Chakra!" The Sudarshan Chakra appeared. When Jagai and Madhai saw death personified in the form of Lord Gauranga holding his Sudarshan Chakra, bright as thousands of suns, ready to sever their heads, they became very sober. Just as they were about to receive the chakra, Nityananda Prabhu, he held Lord Chaitanya's body with his own hands. He said, "No, don't hurt them. They are mine. Give them to me." He said, Lord Nityananda knew not just what to say. He said, "Actually, Jagai saved my life. He stopped Madhai from hitting me."
And as soon as he heard that, Lord Chaitanya became so happy, the chakra disappeared, and Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai. He said, "You have done service to protect my Nityananda." And when he embraced Jagai, Jagai fell to the ground in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya, when he opened his eyes, Jagai, Lord Chaitanya manifested a forearm form of Lord Narayan. And then he placed his feet over Jagai's chest. And Jagai, in intimate, loving, devotional service, he pressed with his hands the feet of Lord Chaitanya to his heart and cried in ecstasy and surrendered his life. And because Jagai and Madai, although they were in two bodies, they shared one state of consciousness. When Jagai was delivered with ecstatic love for Krishna, Madai was transformed. And then Lord Chaitanya looked at Madai about to punish him. Madhai said, no. Whatever I did is what Jagai did. So whatever you gave him, give me too. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You have caused pain and blood to Nityananda. Therefore, you must be punished." Madhai said, "But there's so many demons who came to you as Ravana, when you were Krishna, when you were Ram. So many demons came to you, and you gave them all liberation, and you forgave them. So please, I may have done so many terrible things, but please forgive me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, I forgave them when they insulted me or caused harm to me. But you caused harm to Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, I cannot forgive you." Madhai said, "Well, what do I have to do?" He said, "If Nityananda forgives you, if you fully take shelter of his lotus feet, then you will be delivered." Madhai fell at Nityananda's feet and clasped them and cried and said, "Please forgive me, please forgive me." And Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda Prabhu, "If you accept him and embrace him, he will be forgiven." Lord Nityananda picked him up, the very person who cursed him and tried to kill him in the most abusive way. Lord Nityananda embraced him and gave him the very love, the shakti of his own heart he put in Madhai. And then he said, "Lord Chaitanya, now he is yours." And Lord Chaitanya looked at Madhai and Jagai and said, "Because you have been forgiven and received the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu, you are forgiven of all your sins, everything you've ever done. Now, no more sins, no more vices ever again. Associate with devotees and chant the holy names, and I will give you ecstatic love for Krishna." Jagai and Madhai vowed to never perform any type of immoral activity ever again and to take shelter of the process of bhakti. Then Lord Chaitanya invited them to his house. And they all the associates of Lord Chaitanya with Jagai and Madhai sat around Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Never think of Jagai and Madhai in terms of what they have done. Because Nityananda Prabhu has bestowed his mercy upon them. And because they are chanting Krishna's names, living in a spirit of seva, I have taken all of their sins. And I want to show you so you'll have no doubt." At that moment, Lord Chaitanya's body became deep black in color. And the devotees were very scared.
And he said to Advaita, "What do you see?" And Advaita said, "You look like Shamsundar Krishna."
And Lord Chaitanya said, "Chant the holy names. And by your chanting and kirtan, all these sins will go away from me." And wherever anyone, anywhere is offending a Vaishnav, all these sins are going to go into their hearts. Very good lesson. Devotees had a wonderful kirtan. Lord Chaitanya's complexion again became Sri Radha's complexion of molten gold. And Jagai and Madhai, in the ecstasy of love, danced among the devotees. With their arms raised, they were dancing with Gadadhar and Advaita and Haridas and Srivas. They were dancing with Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And together, it was the most special, incredible kirtan. Dina hina yata chilo harinam utharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Krishna has descended within the beautiful sound of his name. And that name, as the testimony of its power, has delivered even Jagai and Madhai. Prajandranandana jay sachi shuta hoilo che valarama hoilo nitai. And to spread the holy names around, Krishna has appeared as Lord Chaitanya and Balaram has appeared as Nitai. One day, even though Madhai was now a most humble, pure devotee, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ivasi Hishnana, Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This was the qualities of Jagai and Madhai and the whole of Navadweep. How they were glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just see the mercy of Lord Gauranga. We thought he was just some Brahmin intellectual who's doing all sentimental chanting now. But he delivered Jagai and Madhai. Now they're humble servant of the servant of all living beings. But still, Madhai was feeling very much deeply sad. And he approached Nityananda Prabhu and offered beautiful, beautiful prayers of his mercy. And said, "How can I forget that I made you bleed?" And Nityananda Prabhu lovingly embraced him. He said, "Just like a little child sometimes kicks his mother, the mother doesn't take it seriously. You're just like my own little child. It didn't hurt. You are forgiven. You are most dear to me." Madhai said, "But still I want to atone for what I have done." Nityananda Prabhu said, "Just be the servant of the servant of the servant and chant the holy names." And people in Navadweep, they all like to bathe in the Ganga. Build a ghat for them. So Madhai with a spade actually dug a bathing ghat. And he invited all the people of Navadweep, whoever wanted to come and bathe, and he would serve them. And anyone, because he didn't know who he offended and who he didn't offend, because he was always so intoxicated. So everyone that came, he would offer his dandavat pranams, he would bow down, and he would come and offer them gifts, and offer them with folded hands. He would beg, "If I've ever offended you or anyone dear to you, please forgive me. Let me serve you." He would wash people's clothes for them. He would carry things for them. He would clean up for them. He was just doing the most menial, humble services for everyone. But sometimes people were so offended by his previous ways of actions that they would take rocks and throw it right at his head. And Madhai would humbly pick up the rock and go up to the person and gently hand it to him. He said, "I deserve worse. Please
throw it again at me. And then even that person's heart would melt, because Madhai was just so sincere. In this way, Jagai and Madhai became intimate associates of all the Vaishnavas by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is time for the Abhishek. In fact, it is past the time of the Abhishek. So I think we have to end here. And actually, from here, I'm going to Calcutta, which is one of the favorite places where Nityananda Prabhu would have his pastimes. Just a couple miles from Calcutta's Panihati. We spoke that story at Juhu Radharas Bihari Temple just a couple days ago. But on this day of Nityananda Trayodasi, we have a great opportunity, because this day is like a deity of Nityananda Prabhu himself in the time of this, of the year. These sacred days are like Murtis. The Lord personally makes himself present and give special mercy, special blessings when we observe these days in a spirit of humility, praying for mercy, in a spirit of eagerness to serve Vaishnavas, to be compassionate to other living beings, to hear with enthusiasm these beautiful stories and teachings, to speak them to others, to see the beautiful form of the Lord with gratitude and devotion as he's being bathed, and to take shelter with all our hearts of the holy names. In our prayer, it describes that Lord Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet are refreshingly cool, like tens and millions of moons, and they shade us from all the scorching miseries of material existence. Let us express our gratitude by chanting 10 million times louder.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Louder, please. Thank you very much.